Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan Ritter with Wake Up America Church Ministries. If you are a first-time listener, we are doing a preaching, teaching series on spiritual warfare. This is part 16. So, 16 parts to this. If you are first-time listening to this, I strongly encourage you to go to part 1. Normally, if you're on this website, if you're at this link, or page or whatever you want to look at it, you just scroll down and you'll see 15, 14, 13, 12, and all the way to 1, part 1, because you really to get the full message, the full impact of this preaching and teaching series, you really need to listen to all of them. But, you know, if you don't, because there's certain things that I can't cover all at once over again. That's why God led me to do this series, the very extensive series on spiritual warfare, probably the most extensive I've ever done on this website. So I encourage you to go back and if you haven't. Now, if you guys are already listening to them, and praise Jesus. And hopefully I know it is benefiting you one way or the other, because God's word will not go void. This is part 16. And last week we looked at the shield of faith. And we're kind of continuing that thought. If you can't go back and listen to part 1, definitely go and listen to last week's sermon. Because it centers on the shield of faith, and we are going more into about the shield of faith. The Lord is not done with this topic. Thought about moving on, and He wants me to go a little bit more into this, and I may do another part in this shield of faith. Very important. Somebody needs to hear that. Now, if you guys have been listening for a while out there, praise Jesus. If you listen to the series, thank you for listening and you just love truth, and I praise Jesus for that. But faith, right? Faith. You know, when we look at faith, faith is trust. That is confidence. Being confident in what? God's word. We have that trust, that confidence in God's word. And when we do this, this should do something in our life. She should ignite something in our life, the Holy Spirit, right, in our life. If we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, there is a desire to go into God's Word. And this going into God's Word is a passion, right, a fire that ignites us. And when that fire ignites us, it ignites us to seek His will in our life. Meaning we don't seek our will, but His. We seek to walk more in the light, like more in the Spirit, less in the darkness, less in the flesh. Now, if you guys follow this ministry anytime, you know I used to be heavily involved in all kind of satanic stuff. God brought me out of that, and praise Jesus for that. And I guess this is kind of why I really, you know, when I look at spiritual warfare, I'm kind of drawn by teaching it, preaching it, because I believe there's many more out there that don't even realize what they're dabbing with, and it's very dangerous. And can God break that hold? Yes, He broke it in my life. He can break it in theirs. So, the key scripture here that we're kind of looking at, and this kind of, you know, like anything else, is a springboard scripture, meaning I'll provide more scripture. I'm one of those preachers that believe that we need to be centering on God's word and not just one scripture and then give our opinions and everything else and not centering God's word. We need to center on God's word. That is the final authority. So our scripture reading today will be in Hebrews 12:28-29. That's Hebrews 12:28-29. The title, it's a rough title. It's kind of long. And if you're jotting notes, I encourage you to write down Hebrews 12:28-29. And the title is "The Fear of the Lord is the beginning of faith in the Lord." That is, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of faith in the Lord. That is the title of this message that God has laid on my heart. What I want to say here, and when people hear this title, I will be accused initially when they hear this. Work-based salvation. Now, if you listen and been listening to this website for any time, and you've listened to the messages on salvation that God has given me through, and I point to God's word, you already know that's not correct. Salvation is a free gift from God. That's through His mercy and His grace. He has offered all, right? All of us. He has extended that grace and that mercy to us all. That is a free gift. But it's when we understand what has been offered to us, this should change our life. This should ignite a fire in us, right? To seek His will, to seek His direction, to obey the path that He has laid for you and me. This should not be something that is burdensome. No, it should not be. But this should bring us joy to be part of the ministry that God has laid out for each and every one of us, reaching others with the gospel. No matter how uncomfortable it may get, and I promise you, and especially here in America, it's going to get real uncomfortable before it's over with. I know that's not popular, and most of your preachers will not be telling you that, but I'm not one of those, and I'm not seeking popularity. I'm seeking truth. It will get, especially here in America, and I say America because America is spoilt. America is comfortable. Majority of the Christians in America are, and I'll loosely call them Christians, they are comfortable. They haven't truly counted the cost. That's why I say loosely Christian, because I believe if you truly are a child of God, you have counted the cost, and your comfortability doesn't matter. You seek, honestly, to be uncomfortable. You don't seek a life of being comfortable all the time. You seek a life that is pleasing to Jesus Christ. So I do not preach a work-based salvation, but because we are saved, we desire to do works for Jesus Christ, because we love Him so much, and we want to give Him every moment as much as possible to the service of reaching those around us. So Hebrews 12:28-29 is our springboard scripture here. And it says, "Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptable with reverence, with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come before You, seeking Your direction, Your guidance. You see what's going on in each and every one of our lives. You know the challenges that we are facing. Jonathan Ritter does not know who will hear this and who will receive it and who will reject it. Only you do, God. I obey you. I follow your direction. I preach what you need me to preach, that you have told me to preach, that you guide me to preach to whoever may hear it. I'm not responsible for the acceptance or rejection those that may, well, their choice. They have that choice. They're individually have to make that choice to accept or reject the message as a messenger that you guide and direct to provide the message that you have given. But my heart does break. It's shattered most days when I look across and see this new age Christianity that does not resemble true biblical Christianity. My heart breaks to see how Satan has distorted that we have the church. Our churches have allowed Satan to infiltrate it and distort the gospel, cheapen it. Oh God. There's a stink in your nostrils. And if it doesn't change, America's about to face times. And these have to come because there's just too many wolves within these churches. And one thing's certain, when times get hard, they will fold out because they're not all in. They will leave as fast as they came into it because they'll realize this is not what I signed up for. Because why? They have not counted the cost. They ain't realized that this walk, this life for you is not about, it's not about us. It's not about our comfortable lifestyles. It's not about our families. It's about being true and obeying your word when it is unpopular. When the truth of the gospel is lied out. Oh, how our pulpits are pop psychology. Feel good messages that makes everybody feel good about their sin. Makes them feel good about how they're living their lives for themselves, gaining the materials of this life, heaping the riches of this life. A self-gospel. A gospel about me, 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 I. If Jesus fits in the picture, well, you know, I can add him in there. If not, then, oh, well, I'll just keep doing what I'm doing. Oh, Lord. Breaks my heart. You tell us there will be, and when you're coming, you tell us there will be these, this apostasy, this falling away, this from your truth. And those that stand on it will be ostracized, will be frowned on, even persecuted. Here in America, I truly believe. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, have you ever looked at the word fear in the Bible? Have you ever done a biblical word study on the word fear? If you ever decide to do this word study on fear, you will find from the Old Testament to the New Testament, there is basically two meanings of this word fear. There is the fear of the Lord, our God, right? And there is this fear, this negative fear, a fear that is operated by Satan and his demons. And of course, I have simplified this. I am not a Greek or Hebrew scholar. I am just a humble preacher of God's word with the Holy Spirit as my true teacher and my true compass when it comes to God's word. Remember, the Holy Spirit comes first, then all the other people out there that are professing to be Greek and Hebrew scholars, they come second. I want to caution you around these people. More and more of these scholars are denying the inerrancy and the inspiration of God's word. They are saying that they believe that God's word is filled with errors and not inspired by God. And I want to tell you, we don't listen to them. We counter with God's word. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All scripture from Genesis to Revelation, right, are what? Inspired. All scripture from Genesis to Revelation, guess what? Is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine is not a bad word. It's in God's word. It's profitable, meaning it's beneficial to have this. All scripture from Genesis to Revelation is for reproof and for correction and the instruction of righteousness. All scripture. Be cautious when these people tell you that God's word has error. It is not inspired. They want to be the final authority on scripture. They claim to be God, regardless if they don't even recognize it or not. And there is only one God. I want to tell you, boy, these guys, I don't care how many PhDs they have behind their names or years they've been preaching and teaching. God has the final authority, not no man. Man's word, if it counters God's word, if I'm preaching something today that's not lining up with God's word, you do not listen to me. You will not hear most preachers say that today. I'll listen to quite a few of them, and you will not hear them. I want to tell you, you call me out. You correct me if you need to. Truly, if a man of God is in tune with the Holy Spirit, you will not have to correct me. God will correct me. Praying over these messages and seeking His will, and I handle His word with reverence, not neglect. And He will be amazed how many preachers or pastors that do that. As a pastor or preacher, how much studying they do on their message. You might say, that'll be awkward. Yeah, it will be awkward. We study and we pray. We travail. Because we want to not misrepresent God's word. But fear, right? We should have that fear of the Lord when we're handling His word. In our scriptural reading here, Hebrews, I want to bring your attention on verse in Hebrews 12, right, verse 28, and that that part where it says we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Reverence and godly fear, they are joined here by a conjunction, and. Because these two words or phrases go together. You cannot have one without the other. If you like, or maybe you like, or maybe you don't, or you may love classical music. And you may know this name, Beethoven. It's like when we look at the word serve God acceptable with reverence and godly fear, those go together. It would be like separating Beethoven's masterpiece from the 16th symphony. Maybe you love art or paintings. It would be like separating Leonardo da Vinci from the Mona Lisa, or Vince Van Gogh from the Starry Night, or Michelangelo from the Sistine Chapel. I love paintings. Thank God for those who use God's given gift of painting to let God's light shine through. Not saying that Leonardo da Vinci or Van Gogh or them, I don't know where they stood on their Christianity, but I'm just people that do paintings that has Christian messages in it. I love it. But our God, He's the ultimate artist, right? He's the ultimate creator. Just go out there one night and when it's cloudy and look at the star, when it's not cloudy, and look at the stars. Our God created every one of them. He hung them as an artist strokes the canvas. He hung those stars in the sky. Look at all the beauty in nature. Once, believe it or not, once it was more beautiful than it is now. But sin, right? The Garden of Eden, all things were perfect, made perfect by a perfect God. But oh, how sin marred this beautiful creation. But within that sin, we know that God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to come down here to live a perfect life, a sinless life. Oh, beware of those preachers and teachers that they'll tell you that Jesus Christ was not perfect. Oh, beware of those preachers and teachers that tell you that Jesus Christ has sin in His life. Open God's Word and read from Genesis to Revelations. God's Word is clear that Jesus Christ is the perfect Lamb of God. He had no sin. But He had to take on the brutality of the cross that was meant for you and me. Oh, how our hearts should skip a beat when we think of the old rugged cross. That amazing grace that Jesus Christ demonstrated for me, you, and this world. We should never have calluses on our hearts when we hear of that grace and that mercy that our Lord Jesus Christ did for you and me and this world. Oh, I pray that you reflect every day on that ultimate sacrifice that I and you and us do not deserve. We do not deserve that grace and mercy. Oh, do you fill your prayer chambers with tears of joy of the awesome Savior, what He has done for you and me on that old rugged cross? As we approach Resurrection Sunday, we need to reflect that Friday when our Savior will endure so much pain and so much anguish. Why? Love. Not the distorted version of love, but true love, an unselfish love, an unconditional love, a love that this world can't even grasp and truly define. He has given our life as a ransom for you and me, for our sins. His blood was poured as a loving offering for our behalf. And oh, I want to ask you, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to reject this sacrifice? Are you going to accept the sacrifice? If you reject it, when your life is up, He will honor your choice. You will go to this place of everlasting torment for the rest of your life, hell. But if you accept the sacrifice, you get this place of everlasting joy, right? Everlasting life, peace, love, heaven. But oh, I will see. Oh, we will see one day if you are His. But my heart breaks and when I look across this new age Christianity that believe in no change. They can accept Jesus Christ in their hearts, but there is no change. They can stay the same. Millions are believing this, and millions will die in their sins. And hell will be their destination. Because why? They hear preachers like me and others, and we are attacked verbally. I believe one day in America, I believe it will be physically. Other countries get this because they're already being attacked, even killed for their faith. And I believe one day will be the same here in America. Trust me, majority of your churches in America, they don't want to hear this. They're turning a deaf ear to men like me. But in the end, God will have the final authority. It's coming. You may say, what do you mean? You're just being so critical, Jonathan Ritter. But I want to just encourage you. Look at the popular preachers here in America. Do an internet search. What will you find? You will find people like Joel Osteen, Steve Furtick, John Hagee, Annalise Stanley, Joyce Meyer, Beth Moore, and the list goes on and on. They are the popular preachers, loosely call them preachers. Look at their messages. Are they warning their people that are listening? Warning them that there is an uncomfortable time coming our way. That we need to be strong in the Lord. To have that faith, right? That confidence, that trust in His Word. To make sure it's lining up with our lives. What you'll find is these guys, they are not truly preaching the gospel. And millions love these guys and will follow them right into the one world religion, one world government, right? Into the hands of the end time Antichrist. And when you get what I'm trying to tell you through God's word, you truly get this. You know that your life is no longer yours. There is a change that takes place when you come to truly to the presence of the one holy and true Lord God Almighty. When you do, you will recognize these guys like Joel Osteen, Steve Furtick. They are preaching this progressive Christianity, this new age Christianity, where it's all about me, 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 I. If God's word works in there, then it's okay. A lot of distortions of the gospel. Many wolves in sheep clothing will tell you, you do not need to change. You can keep living however you want to. You do not need to repent. You do not need to confess anything. They have taken the grace of God and they have cheapened it. They have made the grace of God into a license of immorality, a license of sin, and keep sinning. Oh, the mass has distorted the gospel, and they love this new gospel, this gospel that is not biblical. They love their progression Christianity that will tell them all the lies they want to hear and allow them to live the life they want to live because they could care less about the truth. They don't want truth. They want to do whatever they want and still profess to know Jesus. But oh, they don't know our Jesus. They are as much as a Christian as the demons in hell with that mindset. But there is a hope if they listen to the message of the gospel preached from man on fire with the Holy Spirit centering on Scripture and they heed it. There's a transformation in their life. But oh, if they reject it, they choose not to, they don't believe they need to confess anything. They don't believe they need to repent anything. They will join these demons in hell one day. And these demonic hosts will dine on their flesh. But confession and repentance is just part of our daily life as true Christians, true disciples of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:31 says, I die daily. Luke 9:23 tells us, and he that is Jesus Christ said to them, he's speaking, of course, to the disciples and to us today, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross. Does it say only once here in Luke 9:23? No. Does it say, oh, every other day? No. It says the cross daily and follow me. This does not sell here in America because the gospel of America is about living the distortion of the gospel, about living your best life now. How God can bless you with all the material things of this world so you can keep them for yourself because all the stuff that will make you happy, happy, happy. Oh, wake up before it's too late. Wake up before your soul is acquired by Satan and his demonic hosts so they can dine on your flesh. But I pray that you're not like this. That you understand that the life of a true Christian, a true disciple, is a life of seeking God daily. We have to deny ourselves daily. We have to pick up our cross daily and follow Him daily. It is not a one-time event and you're all good. No, it's a lifetime committed to follow Him to the end. Matthew 24:13 says, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And guess what? All of this starts with the fear of the Lord. Do you have a fear of the Lord? That is the question. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 111:10. The psalmist tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endures forever. The fear of the Lord that's being overwhelmed by the presence on a daily basis. This leads to wisdom and good understanding. And what is wisdom and good understanding centered on? Is it centered on you and me? No. If the foundation is centered on you and me, it would be sinking sand, quicksand, slow sinking to our knees. Oh, how I think of Matthew 7:24 and 28. I'll read those. Dealing with our foundation. Therefore, whosoever hear these sayings of mine, and this is Jesus Christ speaking, Sermon on the Mount, and do them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they broke upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon what? What was it founded on? Jesus Christ, a rock, the rock. Verse 26 says, and everyone that hears these sayings of mine and do them not shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And guess what? The rain ascended, the floods came, the wind blew, and they beat up on that house, and it fell. And Jesus says, great was the fall of it. And 28 says, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Be cautious of those who say, oh, I don't preach on doctrine. Immediately, that should shoot red flags. Why? Here, Jesus speak on doctrine. They said his doctrine. They were astonished by his doctrine. Oh, how our church should be astonished on God's word. Because it's the only foundation to be centered, to be rooted in his word. This is to have that fear of the Lord. Here you have two men, or you can look at two individuals, right? One was wise, the other was foolish. Remember our scripture, Psalms 111:10, the beginning of wisdom, right? And good understanding, have all they that do his commandments. One is wise, meaning all the sayings up to, and I encourage you, if you've never read through the Sermon on the Mount, it starts in Matthew 5, and you can read all the way up to it. And Jesus is speaking hard truths. He is giving his word to those that were there and to us today to hear and to heed. And those that heed his word, his commandments, they are placing their faith, right? Trust. The fear of the Lord leads to fear of the Lord leads to faith in the Lord, right? They have this reverence for God's word, so when they are hearing it, they're taking it in. When we look at God's word and we take it in, we breathe his word in. And we have that trust and that confidence in his word, that faith. Because we have a reverence, a fear of the Lord. And those that take that, we are equivalent to a wise man, a wise person, a wise individual, that what he has built his house on that rock. When we build our house through the Holy Spirit through us on Scripture, his word, his commandments, we have that fear of the Lord. And when the storms of life come, guess what? You don't have to guess. We stand. Jesus tells us, this wise man, does it say that his house fell? No. Verse 25, that last part. It fell not, for it was founded upon what? A rock. Oh, my foolish. The foolish man, the foolish person, the foolish individual. He did not or she did not heed what God has laid out. He has or she has not truly fear and reverence for God's word. They built their house up on this sand, and when the storms come, Jesus says, a great is the fall. Oh, foolish builders, heed the words of God. Your life will end. You will die. And there are two deaths that this wise, foolish builder will face. That is the physical death and the spiritual. And the spiritual death will be that nail in your coffin for eternity. An eternity of torment, eternity of crying for help and rescue. And no one will come to your rescue for this time. You have this time to heed who God has placed around you in your life. Men like me and others trying to reach you with the truth of the truth and to point you to God's word and said there is error to listen to all these wolves in sheep clothing that are filling your head with lies, and you will listen to them and you will ignore people like me that are pointing to you and to the word of God, and you will ignore those and you will face your choice. You will face the error of your way. Oh, I plead, turn from your wickedness to a God that is holy, to a God that who is righteous. Seek a life that is holy and pure to the one who died for our sins. I plead you to be that wise individual and not that foolish person. The key here is the fear of the Lord. Because it's what wisdom and good understanding that centers on God's word. Because we fear the Lord, we seek His word. We seek His commandment. We seek to walk in His path, all and not ours. The fear of the Lord centers on His greatness. And how should we honor Him and to give it all to Him? All our dreams, all our purposes, our heartbeat should be for the one true living God. Is your heart beating for that one true living God? Oh, I pray it is. Or do you care more about your dreams and your purposes? And you could care less if they line up with God. Oh, my friend, do you have the fear of the Lord in your life? Do you have that reverence for the one true living God? The one who says your life and your dreams, your purpose, it should line up with His. You may say, I do not know what His purpose and what He has for me. And I want to tell you, many people, they've had these questions, this question or questions, but this is no great mystery. If you're connected with God's word day and night, pray flows through you like blood in your veins. He will open every day in the path that you need to take. I promise you. But if you choose to keep treating Him like a genie on the shelf. He is a genius, by the way. But a genie on the shelf. And when time of need, you want to pull Him down from that shelf and make your wishes. Oh, you have a distortion of the gospel. Our God does not have to answer us. He is God. We are not. Who are we? Just mere ants piddling in the sand. Our God has done enough for us already. He doesn't have to do anything else. Oh, beware of those that believe they can command God to do their biddings. That can believe they can force Him to do something. Oh, that is not what faith is. That is a distortion of what faith is. All that's counter to the fear of the Lord. Who are we to command God to do things? We can ask. We can petition. We can beg. But does that mean He has to respond? That fear of the Lord is a reverence for His word that leads to a true faith in Him, a confidence, a trust that He will follow through one way or the other. Either in this lifetime or the next, He will follow through. When we get this, we can be like in Proverbs 14:27. It says, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. Proverbs 19:23 says, the fear of the Lord tend to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visit with evil. There is within the understanding of the fear of the Lord that reverence that leads to that true faith. We don't have to be victims of the spirit of fear, right? That is that negative fear. Remember talking about two from the Old Testament to the New Testament, two types of fear. And of course, I'm simplifying that because there are nuances, but I'm no Hebrew or Greek scholar. But spirit of fear, that negative fear. When we truly have the fear of the Lord and that faith to trust in His scripture, that confidence, the spirit of fear will have no room in our life. 1 Timothy 1 verse 7 says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of what? Power, love, and sound mind. Means everything we encounter in this life, God has given us the Holy Spirit. He has given His power, His love, His sound mind to us. All this comes from who? God. Through the fear of God, that reverence and that humbling ourselves before Him. If you're missing this in your life, you will have problems. The spiritual enemies got you right where you want. Do not let them have that control over your life. Do not let them create that spirit of fear, this fear that creates torment. 1 John 4:18 says, there's no fear, and this is that negative fear, in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that fear is not made perfect love. True love, there is no fear. There is no spirit of fear. And we don't have to guess what this love is. John 14 verse 15 said, if ye love me, Jesus is saying, if you love me, guess what? You keep my commandments. Keeping His commandments. Meaning our lives should center on God's word, not our opinions, not our feelings, but what God's word says. not what that preacher is saying, unless it's matching up with God's word. Your personal feelings for a person up there preaching, because you like it when he steps down and he gets from the pulpit. He separates his life from the pulpit so he can blend into the filth of your conversations in this world that makes you feel good about yourself, and you like that preacher for that reason. That is a wrong reason. You should like that preacher because he is a man of God that stands on God's word. He will tell you how it is through God's word, not because he compromises who he is. He tries to serve two masters. He's up there trying to be a man of God, but then when he steps down, he separates himself from God because he believes there are two separate ways of handling it. No! Just like those that are listening to God's word in the bleachers are right now, or online, they're listening to men of God proclaiming the truth. We don't separate ourselves from that message. We carry that message with us throughout our lifetime. And I pray that you are like that. A lot of times, if you love God's word and you know that man's up there preaching God's word, and when he steps down from that pulpit, you will love him more than anything. You will love him because of that. Not more than anything. You're going to love God more than him, but you will love how God is using him, to put it that way. What I'm saying is, a lot of people's personal opinions on a preacher is not based upon God's word, is based on their word. And if you see that man up there preaching God's word, you will honor him, you will love him because of that. There's a sacrifice to a man that preaches God's word. Trust me, we're under attack tremendously every day. I know what I signed up for. I'm okay with that. I counted the cost. Preaching. And witnessing. And just not, I don't preach just on this website. I preach in churches too. And guess what? I preach away from the church. I preach at my job. Where God leads me, I obey. And as you should do the same thing. Every day is a chance to reach somebody with the gospel. If you go a day without doing that, you have wasted your day. In closing, I want to plead with you today to ask yourself, do you have the fear of the Lord in your life? The title of this message was, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of faith in the Lord. And Hebrews 12, 28 through 29 was our key verses here. Of course, it springboard to a whole lot of more verses, which I encourage you guys to write those down and go back through them, because ultimately God's word has the final authority. And as I was saying, that when those hear the title like that, they will try to say that I preach a work-based salvation, and of course I don't. The grace and the mercy of God seen on the cross, the blood that was poured out for you and me, that was a free gift offered to all. None of us deserves it, and none of us can work for it. If we could, what was the cross for? The cross would be futile. No, it was not. For it is a gift from God, the grace, right? The sacrifice that Jesus Christ, that ransom. He did not deserve the cross. He did nothing wrong to deserve that brutality. Nothing. We deserve the brutality, but He took it on for us. And when we get this message, truly get this, there is a transformation within our heart. There is a change. That is, we're recognizing the fear of the Lord. That reverence, that humbleness, that taking in what He has done, and a desire to no longer to be as we were. A transformation, a regeneration. Oh, how this message is being lost. Millions today believe they can accept Jesus Christ into their hearts, and there is they don't need to transform anything. They try to separate Christians, a Christian from a disciple. There is no separation. For there to be a Christian is to be a disciple, is to be a follower of Jesus Christ. There is no separation. Immediately that you will hear those say, oh, you can accept Jesus Christ into your heart, but no, you don't have, being a disciple is something different. I promise you, this is being preached out there, because I listen. I am not one of those people that don't listen to other messages out there. This is being propagated out into America as the gospel that you can separate from being a disciple. No, you cannot. Why? Because the fear of the Lord. When you recognize what He has done for you, there's a humble, there's a reverence for Him. And this humble and reverence for Him is centering on His commandments. And because we love Him, we want to keep His commandments. Not because we have to, because we want to, because what He has done for us. And this passion and this love that we have for Him overflows within our day. That's why Paul could see that he had this struggle, but he was willing to deal with that struggle every day. That's why he said, I die daily. He didn't say, oh, I wish I did not have to die daily. He said, I die daily. And when Jesus Christ tells us we have to deny ourselves, that is not a burdensome thing. We deny ourselves. Because of the love, because of what He has done, we look at that cross. The flesh don't like it. And our flesh will always fight it. But we have the Holy Spirit if we are His. We deny ourselves, right? We pick up that cross daily. And we follow Him daily. We understand This short period of life is nothing compared to eternity. This fear of the Lord leads to wisdom and understanding. As we looked at Matthew 7, 24 through 28, and we looked at the two men here that built their homes. One on that solid rock, and the other one on that sinking, that sinking sand, right? And if you have not read through the Sermon on the Mount, I encourage you to do a study on that. Matthew starts in Matthew 5. And it works all the way to Matthew 7. I will tell you, if Jesus would physically come down in physical form and preach the words that he preached on the Sermon on the Mount, we don't even have all of it. We only have a portion of it. He would be kicked out of a majority of churches here in America because they do not want to hear these messages. They prefer to hear the Joel Osteens of the world and those lackeys that follow them that want to model their ministry after this wolf in sheep clothing. Same thing with Steve Furtick and Joyce Meyer and the list could go on and on. The key here, I want to encourage you, always center on God's word. Even when I'm speaking and teaching and preaching, I am human. I can misspeak. And there's on this website, you can send me an email or you can Facebook me. There's so many ways you can contact. I rarely give my phone number out to individuals unless I know that person very well. If you have my phone number, you can definitely text me or call me. Send me a message. I'm not beyond misspeaking, and I will correct myself, or the Holy Spirit corrects me, right? If I'm truly staying in tune with God's word, I won't need you to correct me. The Holy Spirit does that. Because I can feel the grieving of the Holy Spirit when I say something that doesn't seem right. But when you're looking, you're listening to other preachers out there, you will not hear many say, "Hey, I can misspeak. Correct me if I'm wrong." No, you will not hear them. They're pompous. They think they have the final authority. Not saying all of them. I'm saying there's a pompous out there. There's a pride. They will misspeak and then they will go as quick as they can to try to get rid of everything and say, "Hey, you know, I'm human. I misspoke. This is why I misspoke. I'm going to explain why." No, they'll try to start removing everything they can from Facebook or Twitter or any social media, internet, their website. Just say, "Hey, I misspoke. I'm human. And I'm not beyond misspeaking. And I am human." The goal is to minimize that as much as possible through my life sanctified in Christ. More of him, less of me, right? Less likely to misspeak. But the fear of the Lord. When we have the fear of the Lord, we are like this wise man that built his house upon the rock. He is founded on the commandments. These are not burdensome. He lives his life by them or her. He or she strives to walk in the Spirit. Sin is repulsive to that person. They're not like, "Oh, I am going to modify the Bible." Yeah, you know, when he talks about filthy communication, that don't include me cussing. Saying, being involved in filthy conversations, sexual innuendos. No, that don't mean that. Or they don't even want to hear you talk about that. Oh, how our conversations should be clean and centered on wholesome communication. Not saying we can't have fun, but we keep it within the scriptures, right? We are supposed to be children of the light. If Jesus wouldn't embark in it, why should we? We ignore, and preachers don't preach this way. And when they do, I can speculate many will be kicked out of the church. Because why? Especially here in America, we have lost the fear of the Lord. And because we have lost the fear of the Lord, the reverence for His Word, many truly have not the faith to be in Christ. They are on that sand, and when the storms in this life comes, what happens? They realize we did not sign up for this. As we would say, they walk away from their faith. Were they even truly in their faith? And of course, you have debate if you could, you know. But it doesn't matter. At that point in time, they're gone. Can God restore them? Yes. Do they want to be restored? Probably not. But we pray for them anyway. Our hearts are poured out for them. And we lift them up to a holy and righteous God, knowing that He can reach for them. But they have to accept it. He presents Himself to them. And at that point when He presents Himself, they have to accept and reject. We can't do it for them. We can pray for them. We can pray that they see the errors of their ways. And we can pray for their souls. For we know in that state that they are in eternal damnation is their course. And we pray over them. We have loved ones. I have loved ones that pray over. The list, of course, grows and grows more and more. And knowing, I know God is reaching them, trying to reach them. And they can accept and reject it. I know this can be devastating, especially when we got a child or we got siblings that we know they're lost. And we know tomorrow's not promised. And if they die today in their sins, heaven is not their destination, but hell. And we lift them up, of course. But I want to leave you with this is, do you have the fear of the Lord in your life? Something to reflect on, to ponder on, and to realize the fear of the Lord leads to the faith in the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just close this out, we lift Your name above every other name. God, we pray over those that may be heavily on our minds right now, that we know today was their last day, they would not be in heaven. Our hearts are torn. Lord, we look over, especially here in America, at the distortion of the gospel. We look at the many churches that have compromised and will compromise the gospel for a feel good, a pop psychology, a distortion, a new age Christianity, a progressive Christian mindset where it tells the word of God has errors that is not inspired by the Holy Spirit. That we shouldn't worry about words like doctrine because they're irrelevant to today's times. Oh, we should be, these things should bring up red flags when they tell us the commandments are no longer part of the gospel. There should be problematic issues with that statement. For you tell us, if we love you, we will keep your commandments. And within that, that's from Genesis to Revelation. We have a love for your word. It penetrates our hearts. It's the life source, like the blood flowing through our veins. Unite that fire within our hearts to seek you daily, to walk with you daily, to know we want our path, our dreams, our purposes to line up with yours. We have counted the costs, and we're okay with being uncomfortable. We're okay with standing in a world that is hostile to true Christians. True Christians that will stand like that wise individual on that rock. And regardless of how they can try to attack us or wherever storms may come our way, because we stand not because of ourselves, but in who we stand in. Our roots are firmly planted within your words. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just give us strength as time draws closer and closer to your coming. The intensity of the times are upon us and will continue. I truly believe we are living in the days as you spoke in your words, as the days of Noah. I believe we are living in those days. It will get worse. Give us strength, I pray, to stand firm, uncompromised, unashamed, to proclaim the good news to the lost souls all around us. Until your time, or you call us home, guide us and direct us. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Love you guys. Of course, you can reach out to me on Facebook if you need to. If you do email me through this website, I encourage you to make sure on the subject part of that email that you just put Wake Up America Church Ministries on there. So when if it does go to junk mail, I can pick up it pretty fast on that title. If not, then good chances I probably won't see it. I get a lot of junk mail. If you you're part of, on Facebook, you can find me on Facebook. You can send me a message. If you want to be added onto my Facebook, just please reference this website out. And any questions just you may have, you can present it through that message. And I will do my best to try to answer that for you. Don't use Twitter very much or Instagram, but I am on Twitter and Instagram, so you can reach out to me that way too. And some of you guys I know have my personal phone number, and you guys can definitely text me and call me, and y'all do. So you guys have a good rest of your day or night, and remember to be that light that God has called you to be.